Good morning. We want to welcome our brother Apostle Bill Busula from Uganda. I called you Bill, I can't believe it. Steve, sorry. They used to come in sets, you know, and he and Bill were always together. So we've had some really good meetings this week about building our altars, and God has really been moving in people, and it's been a real blessing and just gets better every day. So we're just so thankful that he's here. We pray you'll bless him while he's here. And just have your hearts open this morning and welcome the Word of God and the man of God. Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I'm so glad to be here and to stand before you to share what God has put on my heart. I'm Steve Busula from Uganda. I'm married to Judith, and I have a daughter called Treasure. And I want to bring greetings from my family and the entire church, that they love you. Thank you for your prayers. I know that you're praying for them. And also, on the behalf of the ministry and my family, I want also to thank you for everything which are supporting us into our ministry. God bless you very much. This is not my first time I'm at home. When I come here, I know that I'm at home. And I'm in the midst of my sisters and brothers. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this wonderful moment which you have given us, Lord, to share your word and to be in your presence, my Father. Father, have your way in our midst. Allow me to speak your minds unto your people, Lord. Allow me to speak what you want them to know. Father, open up their hearts, Lord. Open up their spiritual ears to hear from you, my Father. And open up their spiritual eyes to see what you have said before them, my God. And give us the grace, Lord, to do your will, to submit your will, my Father. So that we may do what the Bible says. Father, let the Spirit of God move in our midst and touch each and everybody. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday and Saturday, I started up a topic that building up altars for God. When I was coming, God told me to tell you that you have to come back into, you have to rise and build up the altars for Him. And we have seen what is the altar. Altar, we have seen that is a place of communication. To communicate with your God. Now God is calling us to build up altars or a place of communication. To communicate with Him. When God created a man, one of the purpose why He created a man was to have fellowship. Although most of people are saying that we are created to worship God, that's right, but you cannot worship somebody when he is very far away from you. Now, the reason why God created us is to have fellowship with Him. Now, we need to build up altars or a place of communication, personal altar, personal place of communication, whereby that you can communicate with your God. Altar is a place of fellowship, relationship with God. Now, when we say building up the altar, we mean to build up their personal place of fellowshipping with your God. This is not about the fellowship. Nobody can build on your behalf a fellowship right to your God. Is you. You are supposed to build up your personal altar, the place of fellowshipping with your God. Because God wants to meet you, God wants to have a fellowship with you. God wants to spend a time with you. Now, we need to build up altars of the place of communication, the place of relationship, the place of fellowshipping with our God. So that you can don't pass within that day without at least having 20 minutes or 30 minutes communicating with your God, because He wants to hear from you, and also you want to hear from Him, because He's your God. Remember, He's your dad. Now, a dad with the children, when there's no communication, then that home family is not a happy family. I believe the children, they have to communicate with their parents. If that's to have a better family, you have to have that communication, that time of communication, that time of fellowshipping. Now, even God, that's what He wants. He wants us to have time of fellowshipping. He wants us to have time of communication. Therefore, God is calling us back to build up the place of altar, the place where we can meet Him. Now, today, let's go on that topic. Turn with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We are reading from verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 8 up to 11.
Genesis 3, 8 through 11. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
God bless you. Here the Bible says that when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, that in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife, they hidden themselves from the presence of the Lord. When God created Adam and Eve, He positioned them somewhere into a certain place. He positioned them into a certain place where He could come and meet them or and have fellowship with them. Because the garden was so big, but He had to look for a place somewhere where He can position them. Now, when He wants to communicate with them, when He wants to fellowship with them, when He wants to meet them, He knows exactly where He was supposed to meet them, where exactly was where He was supposed to have a fellowship with them. Now, that day, God wanted to come and communicate and have fellowship with them. When He went in the place where He had positioned them, they were not there. The Bible says, they hidden themselves from the presence of God. In other words, they went out of God's presence. In other words, they changed the position where they were supposed to meet their God, and they positioned themselves into a place where they cannot meet their God. Now, when God came, He couldn't find them. He wanted to communicate with them. He wanted to have fellowship with them. God has angels in heaven. But the angels, those are His servants. He does not want just to have fellowship with the servants. He wants to have fellowship with you. Right. Because you are the person who He created in His own image. The angels, they were not created in His image. You were created in His image. Now, he wants to have fellowship with you. That's why He created Adam and positioned him somewhere. Now, all of us, the children of God, we must have a place in our life, in our schedule, a place where we meet our God. We need to have it. Because even God, from the beginning when He created Adam, He positioned him. He puts him somewhere into a certain place, the place which I call a place of meeting. which I call a place of fellowship, which I call a place of communication, the place of friendship. God put them there so that he can meet them, so that he can communicate to them, so that he can talk to them. But here what the Bible says, that when they heard the voice of the Lord, when they heard the voice of the Lord, they hid themselves from the presence of God within that, among the tree of the garden. We have a lot of things within this world which is attracting us. We have a lot of things where we are hiding ourselves. We hide ourselves in things which makes us happy. We hide ourselves in things which comfort us. We hide ourselves in things in our comfort zone. We don't want anybody to disturb us. We don't have time for God, but we have time for other things within this world. The Bible said that they hid themselves among the trees which was in the garden. We have trees in different areas where we are hiding ourselves. We have different trees in your nation where you are hiding yourself. You feel you are comfortable with it. And when they tell you that, please, get time for God, you don't have that time because you feel you don't want to miss your tree somewhere. You don't want to miss your certain program somewhere. You don't want to miss a certain party somewhere. You rather lose the time with God than losing that party, than losing something somewhere. Now, those are trees where we are hiding ourselves. Anything which makes you busy, that is your tree. Anything which makes you busy, anything which consumes your life, your time, and your life, and you don't have time for God, that is your tree. But at the end of the day, it's going to kill you because it does not have life. It does not give life. It gives destruction. It brings confusion. It brings tearing the family, tearing your life. It cannot bring unity. It's there to divide you and destroy even your children, because you are out of God's presence. Now we need to build up our altar, a place of communication, the place where you can invite God and God come and meet you. The place where you can spend time with your God, because that is the very important thing which God wants within our life. Is that clear? That's what God within our life. He created us to have fellowship. He created us to have relationship. Now when you allow other things to draw your attention, to take your time, and you don't have any time of meeting your God, then you are destroying your life. You are destroying your future. You are disconnecting yourself from God. You are hiding yourself from the presence of the Lord. Now all of us, we need that place of meeting. We need that place of communication. We need that place of fellowship. This is built up by yourself. The pastor cannot do that. Apostle cannot do that. Even a prophet cannot do that. They are there to guide you, to teach you the word of God. But building that place of communication, it is your duty. Because God wants to meet you. He cannot meet me on your behalf. When he meets me on my own. Also, you need to meet him on your own. You cannot meet him. You cannot sit at home and say, as long as I know Apostle Harvey is there, he's on my behalf. Even God will hear me. No. God wants to meet you. Now, in our life, we must have that place of meeting. We must have that place of communication. We must have that altar. Relationship. Now, the devil, what he did in the lives of Adam and Eve was to destroy their fellowship with God. He disconnected them. He pulled them out of God's presence and positioned them somewhere. Now when God came to look for them, they were no longer there. Why? Because the devil has disconnected them. The devil had pulled them and put them somewhere where they are not supposed to be. Now that's what the devil, even up to now, what he's doing in our nation, in our lives. He's drawing everything to see that he disconnects us. He pulls us from where we are supposed to be into another place where we're not supposed to be. He's trying to pull us from where we can meet our God into another place where we cannot meet God. He's trying to pull us from where we are supposed to have fellowship with God into a place where we cannot have fellowship with God. Is that clear? When the devil disconnects you, when you are into another place where you're not supposed to be, don't think that God will come into that place. You are the one to go where God wants you to be. When you go out of the place where God wants you to be, you go out, but God wait you there. He will stand and wait for you to come back there. Because that is the only place where he can meet you. Don't say that, no, he can meet me anywhere. He has a place where to meet you. He cannot meet you in every place. You can say that, you cannot say that I'm on the street, then he will meet me. No. You must have a place. He has a place where he was waiting for you. He's saying, okay, do everything which you do, but I'm here, I'm waiting for you. Until you come back into your senses and say, no, I need God, I miss God, I miss the fellowship with thy God. Then you go back to exactly the place where you are supposed to be. That's what happened to Abraham. When we read in Genesis chapter 12. Chapter 12, let's start from verse 4.
Which one?
Genesis chapter 12 from verse 4.
4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Genesis 12, 4. Mm-hmm. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Mm-hmm. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Beth-el, and pitched his tent, having Beth-el on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord.
Can stop there. God bless. When Abram was called by God, when you read that chapter from verse 1, that chapter 12 from verse 1, that's when where God called Abram to come out of his father's house, out of his clan, out of his country, to a land where he was going to bless him. Now, Abram knew that in his journey from his father's house to the place where he's supposed to go, to the place where God is leading him, he knew that he cannot make it without a place of communication with God. When he was in his father's house, he was depending on his father. He was depending on his brothers and other people within his country. But on this journey, God separated him from his father. He separated him from his own people, from his country, leading him into a certain land where he was going to bless him. Now, Abram knew that he cannot make it to the other side of the land or where God wants him to bless him. He knew that I cannot make it the other side unless I have a place of meeting my God. Unless I have a place where I can communicate with my God so that I can depend on him. Then the Bible says that what he did, he built up an altar for God. In other words, he set up a place where he can meet his God on his journey. He knew that without communication, he might not reach where he's supposed to go. Without communication, he might not get or become what God wants him to be. Then he had to build up an altar. the place where he could communicate unto his God. The Bible said that after building up the altar, he called upon the name of the Lord. He told God that, here I am, you need to direct me. Here I am, I depend on you. Here I am, I need you to walk. I want to walk with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to commit everything into your hands, my God. Because without you, I cannot make it. Without you, I cannot become what I'm supposed to become. Without you, I cannot reach where I'm supposed to go. Then he had to build up the altar. A place of communication. A place of fellowship. Now, in Christianity, we are on journey. Christianity is a journey. We are going somewhere. But in our journey, we cannot make it on our wisdom. We cannot make it on our power. We cannot make it. We cannot reach where we are supposed to reach on our own. We need the assistance from God. And we cannot have that assistance until we have a fellowship. Until we have a communication. Until we have a certain place where we can meet him. Now, in our journey, we need that altar. In our journey, we need to depend on God. Let me tell you, a lot of people, they have depended on different things and they have let them down. Some people, they have depended on money and the money have let them down. Some people, they have depended on their friends, they have let them down. Nothing on earth here which cannot let you down. Human being can let you down. Money can let you down. Riches can let you down. Everything can let you down. But except God cannot let you down always. Because always is there for you. Sometimes we let him down. But although we let him down, he waits for us. He knows that one day we shall reach somewhere and we come back to him. Then he has to stand somewhere waiting for you. Calling you that, can you come back in your former place? Can you come back to the place where we can communicate? Can you come back to the place where we can sit down and we talk? Can you come back so that you can hand over your life and all your discouragement, your everything to me, so that I can assist you to come out of it? Now, in our journey, we need to have that place of communication. Everything which is taking your time, one day it is going to let you down. Anything which is consuming your life, one day is going to let you down. Because it's temporarily. It's made up by man. Men, they change all the time. Even the things which are made up by men, they change all the time. They are not permanent. But anything which was created up by God, he does not change. That's why the Bible says that God does not change and his word does not change. When he says something, that it will stand until the end of the world. When he said that I'm your God, he is God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He has been seeing everything which is coming. She has seen generation to generation, kingdom to kingdom, generation comes and go. Always he's there. He does not change. Right. Now, when we need to depend, it's very good to depend on somebody who does not change. Right. It's very good to have fellowship on somebody who is faithful unto his word. We need to have a fellowship with somebody. When he tells you that I'll do this, he will keep it and do it. It's very good to have that communication, love, with somebody who does not, who will never regret why he loved you. Who will never regret why he saved you. Who will never regret why he created you. Therefore, God is calling us. He's calling your nation to go back to that place. He's calling you that in your Christian journey, you cannot make it without him. You need to submit. You need to break that spirit of pride. Yes. Because your nation, most of the people here, they have pride. They don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to someone. They don't want to submit under leadership. They don't want to submit under God. They don't want to submit to this, who is his, the word of God. All the time they want to question the word of God. They want to do things the way how they want to be done there, you know, their own way. They want to handle their life the way how they want to handle it. There's somebody who told me that this is how I handle my life. Let me tell you, if you decide to handle your life is not safe if you handle it by yourself. Your life is not safe when you decide to handle it by yourself. This is how I handle my marriage. Then your marriage is not safe if you decide to handle it by yourself. But anything which is handled by God is safe, because they are in the right hands. When your life is handled by God, then your life is safe. Because it's handled by God who does not change. When your family is handled by God, then your marriage is safe. Even your children, they are safe. Because they are handled by God who will never regret, who will never change his mind about towards you. Now, the only thing is you to handle everything unto him. Tell him that, God, here is my life. Do what you wish in my life. Do what you wish in my family. Do what you wish in everything which surrounds me. We can do that on the altar. We can tell God that here we are. Is that clear? One day, Abraham, as he was going towards where God had called him, the place where God was going to bless him, one day he forsook the altar. Because of putting aside the altar of God, the place of meeting, he found himself into Egypt. He went into Egypt. I know that you know the story of what happened there when he went there. Egypt wasn't his place where he was supposed to go. But because he missed the communication with God, he missed that fellowship with God. He could not go back to the place of the altar. He found himself into Egypt. And all the days when he was in Egypt, God did not communicate with him. Because he has forsaken the altar. We are in time whereby that God does not even communicate to us because we are in the wrong positions. We are in time where God cannot talk. You can enter into some churches, you feel that God is not there. Why is not there? Because people, they are in the wrong place. They are where they are not supposed to be. They are not in the right position of where they can communicate with God. Church, let me tell you, you cannot pull God into any place where you want him to be. You cannot just grab him and say, God, I'm going down there, also you come and we go with you. No way. When you try to grab him, he will stay where he has to stay. Then he will let you go until you come back. The Bible says that our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Now, your thoughts and my thoughts, most times they are not perfect. God's thoughts are perfect. Our ways are not perfect. God's ways are perfect. Now, you cannot grab God from his thoughts into your thoughts. You cannot grab God from his way into your ways. You cannot grab God from his will into your will. We have to change and enter into the thoughts of God. We have to go into the ways of God. We have to put aside our ways. We have to put aside our will. We have to put aside what we think, what we call ourselves, what we think, what we are, what people are calling us, and go into his ways, into his thoughts, where we can have a fellowship and we submit to him. Because when we submit to him, we benefit. Abraham, when he went up into Egypt, he lied there. He denied his wife that she's my sister. She's not my wife. You know everything what happened there. until he had to come out of Egypt. But when he came up out of Egypt, this is what he did. In Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We are reading from verse 1 to 4. Mm-hmm.
Genesis 13, 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Mm-hmm. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Beth-El, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Beth-El and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord.
You hear? He went out of Egypt with his wife, but he was very rich. He had silver and gold. He had everything which he needed, but minus God. He came back with everything which he needs within the life, but minus fellowship with God. It's very easy to have money. It's very easy to become rich when you don't have fellowship with God. What is more important? What is more important? Is it becoming rich without God? Or having fellowship with God? Now, Abraham, he went in Egypt, he had everything, but he lost the fellowship with God. He lost the fellowship, he lost the communication, that love of God, he lost it, although he had money. Then, the Bible said that he went back to the place, the first place where he had put his tent. He went into the place of the altar which he had built there at first. In other words, he went back to his right place of communicating with his God. He knew, he realized that although he has got everything, but the God who called him, he is not with him. The God who created him, he's not with him. Although he had everything, he had gold, he had silver, but he did not have God. Right. Then he decided, he remembered where he left God. He knew that there's a certain place where I used to communicate with my God. There's a certain place where I used to have fellowship with my God. Then the Bible says that he went back to that place where he had built the altar at the first time. Now that God is calling us to go back to our first place. God is calling upon your nation to go back to the first place. God is waiting your nation back to that first place. God is waiting your nation. He's standing somewhere into the first place and is waiting and is calling upon you to go back to the first place. Every problem which you are passing in within your nation is because you left the first place. The place of communication. The place of altar. The place of meeting your God. Your forefather built up the foundation of this nation on biblical foundation. Now you forsake that place. You went out of that place. Now God is standing on that place. He is calling upon you back there. Don't think that you draw him from there. We have to go back there, but he will never come back to us until we go back to him. Right. Now he's calling us to go back. That's what Abraham did. After realizing that God is gone, after realizing that he's out of God's presence, after realizing that he cannot communicate with God, he came back into his senses and he remembered where he used to meet God. We need to remember where we used to meet God. We need to remember where we used to communicate with our God. We need to remember where we used to meet our God. We need to remember where God used to speak to us. We need to remember the place where we used to submit and we depend on our God. And we know that without God, we cannot make it. We need to go back there. And that's why God is calling us to do that. That's why God is calling you. We have done a lot of things. We have called ourselves Christian minus the fellowship of God. Because it's easier to call yourself a Christian, but really when God is not with you. Because somebody who has got a fellowship with God, God will transform him, then we shall see even the fruits of the Spirit. But we have some Christians called Christians, but they don't have any fruits of the Spirit. They don't have them. But when you go to that place of meeting your God, God will work on you. Then you'll have the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. So that other people who are around you, they'll start grabbing those fruits. They'll start eating and depending on those fruits. Also, they'll give their life because of what they are seeing within you. But we have a lot of Christians by name, but they don't have fruits of the Spirit. How can you get them? Go back to that place. We need to go back to that place. Build up your personal altar. Draw all your family into that place. Draw your children into that place. Draw your grandchildren into that place. Everybody in your the member of your house, draw him into that place. Because that is the place where we can have relationship with our God. And that's what God wants. We have kept fellowship with men. You find somebody does not want even to lose any fellowship with somebody. How is my friend? You know, we went with him into a certain college. You know, we grew up with him. I don't want to lose his fellowship. I don't want to lose him. Let me tell you, yeah, you don't want to lose him. But ask yourself, if you don't have to want to lose him, does he supported you to become what God wants you to become? Or is pulling you out of God? Then he's not the right person. Anybody who is drawing you out of God, anybody who is drawing out of God's presence, anybody who is destroying your fellowship with your God, then he's not the best friend. The best friend is somebody who keeps you in the presence of God. The best friend is somebody who supports you to sustain the fellowship with your God. The best friend is somebody who push you to read the word of God, to love your God than never before. Somebody who drag you near to your God. You know, that's the best friend. But anybody who destroys you, anybody who separates you from God, then he's not the best friend. Although you grew up with him, but now he's not the best friend. Although you went in the same college with him, but he's not the best friend because he's destroying your life and your future. Is that clear? Now, don't allow anybody or anything to destroy your life and your future. Don't allow anybody to destroy your fellowship. Church, miss everything than missing the fellowship with God. Miss everything, lose everything, so that you can maintain your fellowship. This is something which is done on personal level. This is something which is built up on personal level. Nobody will do that on your behalf. Even you cannot do it even to your children. What you have to do is to teach them how they can build up their own personal relationship with God. You cannot say that, oh, me, I'll be able to build it for my children. You are lying yourself. What you can do is to lead them, to teach them how they can build up their personal fellowship with their God. I don't know if you have been doing that into your family. If you have been not doing it, please, start it from today. Teach your children, lead your children, how they can build up their personal fellowship with God. Is that clear? Now, we need to build up our personal fellowship or personal altar. We need to build up our personal or our family altar or family place of communication. Before you enter into your bed, love your children, call them together, communicate, commit them into the hands of God. Teach them how they can communicate. Tell them that we depend on God. Tell them that everything which we have is God. If it wasn't God, we wouldn't have it. Even the home which we have, if it wasn't God, we wouldn't have it. We have it because of God. Let them know that it's known to you who provided the home is God who has provided the home. Let them know you. Let them know that if it wasn't God, they wouldn't have something to eat. They eat because God has provided. Now, you turn their mind from you to them, to God. They knew that without God, they cannot eat. Without God, they cannot have a good house to live in. Without God, they cannot have even life. They cannot stay. They cannot live a better life. It's God who has done that. Now, after teaching them that, they will know. That's why the Bible said that when you teach your children the word of God, then it will be well with them. Some children hear things are not going on well with them because the parents did not teach them the word of God. They did not teach them to walk in the word of God. They did not teach them to depend on God. Then that's why things are not going on well with them. But when we want our children things to go well with them, we need to teach them the word. We need to have that time. We need to pray with them. We need to communicate to our God with them. We need to surrender to Him. Don't surrender to God with conditions. Some people, when they go before God, they put some conditions. Now, if God, you want me to, when if you want me to serve you, you have also to this, this, and this, and this, and this. God, if you want me to commit my life unto you, you have to do this, and this, and this. Remember, this is God. You are not talking to a human being. You are talking to God. The one who created the heaven and earth. The one who has everything into His hands. The one who has your life. You did not request Him to create you. He decided to create you. Now, after creating, now you are giving Him conditions. You did not beg Him that, please create me. No, He decided. He has decided to give you life. He's decided to protect you up to that level. Now you are standing, you are telling God, if you don't do this, also I will not do this. There's a certain brother in Uganda. He was coming, fellowshipping in our church. Then he took almost 2 months when he's not fellowshipping. Then I went and visited him and told him, why are you not seeing the church? Then the brother told me, let me tell you, I'm here, I'm waiting to go for God. I told God, He has to give me 2 pairs of shoes if He wants me to go in the church. If He does not give it to me, I'm not coming to the church. I said, what? He has to give me 2 pairs of shoes. When He does not give it to me, I'm not coming back to the church. And I will never follow His word. But when He gives me 2 pairs, I will come back. I told the brother, sit down. I think you need to come back into your senses. Do you know whom you are talking to? Do you know whom you are talking to? This is God. First, appreciate what He has given you before you complain. Then we went on. I don't know, you have life. Who has given you that life? That God. If He does not give you the life, how are you going to put on those shoes? He said, Pastor, repeat that. I said, no. If He does not give you life, how are you going to put on those shoes? He kept quiet. Then I asked him, do you know that there's other people who don't have even feet?
Right.
Do you know that? Yes, I know. If they need shoes, where are they going to put on? How are they going to put it on?
Right.
If those people who don't have faith, they can praise the Lord, what of you? Somebody who has got all parts of your body. He has given you life. Then appreciate him for what you have. Appreciate him for your feet. Appreciate him for all the parts of your body. Appreciate him for the life which he has given you. Then go into the church and wait for him to do what he wants to do. Then from that day, the brother came back into the church. Now we have people who are busy complaining. Before complaining. We have people who are there to complain. But they don't appreciate what they have. They don't appreciate what God has given them. They don't appreciate the life which God has given them. They don't appreciate even the children who God has given them. Because we have a lot of people who don't have children. But you have one, you have two, you complain. No, we need to stop that, and we know that we have our God. And the complainers, always, they don't have fellowship with their God, that's why they complain. But if you have a fellowship with God and you feel you love your God, you cannot complain. You appreciate him of everything which he has ever done in your life. Therefore, build up the altar, personal altar, family altar. Third one, we need to build up city altars. We need to build up city altars. Because our nation needs somebody who can stand there to intercede for it. You agree with me? We are the people to pray for our nation. We are the people to pray for our neighbors. The Bible calls us watchmen. In any place, in any city where you are watchmen. You are watching over those people. Is that clear? You are watching over those people. You are there for them. That's why the Bible says that if I set up a watchman and he sees the sword coming and he does not blow his trumpet and that sword comes and snatches the sinner when he has not repented, then that blood of that man is on the head of the watchman. That's what the Bible says. But if he blows the trumpet, and that sinner does not change, and he dies into his sin, therefore his blood is upon him. Because the watchman has done what he's supposed to do. Now in any area where you are, you are watchman. In any city where you are, you are watchman. You are watching over that city. You are watching over that people, those people. Now how can you watch over them? How can you watch over them as a watchman? Number one is to have an altar so that you can pull them onto that altar. In Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, we are reading from verse 16.
Judges 6, verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Mm-hmm. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Keep going. And at verse 25, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar.
Stop there. We see Gideon, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. During that time, they were passing through difficult situations because of their enemies. They used to torment them, destroying everything of theirs. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that, You mighty man of valor, go, you shall save the children of Israel from the hands of their enemies. Then he was not sure of himself that really he can do that. Then the angel of the Lord went on talking with him. Now, the Bible says, then the same night God spoke to him, that go into your father's house, break down the altar of Baal. That means that in his father's house, there was a certain altar which was built there. But it wasn't God's altar, but the altar of Baal. Now, Gideon was afraid to go there during that day, because he feared the household of his father and even the men of city. Then he decided to go at night. And he went and did according to what God told him. He destroyed the altar of the devil of Baal. Then he built up the altar of God. Now, after building up the altar of God, early in the morning, when the men of the city saw that the altar of Baal was destroyed, they came to the house of Joash, the father of Gideon. And they start asking that, bring your son, because he's the one who has destroyed this altar. That means that this altar which was built in the house of father, the house of the father of Gideon, was the altar for the city. That's why all men of the city, they had to come to plead on their, because of their altar. That's why the men of the city, they had to come and find out who destroyed our altar. This is the place where all the men of the city, they used to come and give their offering, sacrifice, on this altar, which was in the house of the father of Gideon. That's why they were concerned about it, because it was their altar. That's the place where they used to worship their God. That's the place where they used to communicate with their God. Now there's a man who has destroyed it. Now they had to come and plead for it. Then until Jehoshaphat sat down, the father of Gideon said, no. If it's God, let him plead for himself. Let him kill the one who has destroyed his altar. Do you want to plead for him? If it's God, let him do that. Then they could do nothing because even their God couldn't plead on his behalf. Their God couldn't kill the one who has brought down the altar, his altar. Now, this is an altar which was set up in the house of the father of Gideon for the entire city. Men of the city, they used to come into that altar to worship, to give a sacrifice. Now, also we have to build up an altar for a city. How can we build it? In our homes. In our homes, because even this altar was in a home. In the house of the father of Gideon. Now we need to open up our homes, and we get time to come and fellowship together. Then we start interceding for our city. Are you getting me? You get me? Because you are a watchman. If, let me say, I have my home into this city, then I'm the watchman of this city. Then I have to open up my house. Then brothers come together, brothers and sisters, and they come in my house. Why they come in my house? To worship God, to share the word of God, and to pray for our city. To intercede for our city. Because you are the watchmen. That's how we can watch over our city. Then when in my house, then we lift up our hands and say that, God, we thank you for our wonderful city. We thank you for each and everybody who is in our city. But Lord, most of people, they don't know you. Lord, most of people, they do this and this and this and this. You put everything which is done within your city before God. Then you repent on their behalf. Then you ask God to come and visit your city. That's what the Bible says, that if my people who are called by my name, they shall humble themselves. When we enter into a certain house, and we humble ourselves unto God, and we forsake our evil ways, then the Bible says that he will hear from heaven and forgive our sins, then and heal our land. Our city needs healing. Our nation needs healing. But you and me, we cannot heal it. You and me, we can do nothing about it. But when we go before God, and we lift our city before God, and we tell God, this is what is done within our city. On our own, we cannot change our city. But God, you can do that. On our own, we cannot touch the lives of people. But God, you can do that. Then as we are calling upon God, then God will bring healing, because he's seeing his people who are called by his name. They have humbled themselves. Now they're lifting up their city, telling God that if you don't save us, if you don't save these people, nobody will save them. Then God will bring healing into that city. Now we need to build up city altars in our homes. Have time. Purpose, we come to lift up our nation, our city. Because you might think and say, I don't mind about the city, what is going into the city. I don't mind about those who are on drugs. I don't mind those prostitutes. I don't mind what is going on. Let me tell you, one day it's going to affect you. Because one day your children may join them. Even if not your children, your grandchildren, they may join them. Then you find them on the street, your grandchildren. You find them on drugs, your grandchildren. You find them in bars, your grandchildren, all your children. It will affect you. Now, if you are saying, I'm not concerned about what's going on, one day you are going to be concerned. Now, don't wait to be concerned. Right now you are concerned. That's why God decided to put you into that city. Now the only thing which we have to do is to lift up that city into before God. We can come together. That's what the Bible says. That if two or three gather in my name, I'm in their midst. And if they ask for anything, I'll do it. Now, if we gather in the name of our Lord, in the certain home, then we start lifting up our city. That put up some altars for the city. We see young generation, young people, most of them, they don't want even to come in the church. That means the devil is trying to kill the coming generation. The devil is trying to drug the coming generation. The devil is trying to see that he's setting up his own generation of building his kingdom. How are we going to break that? Unless we build up the altar. If in the days of Gideon, the men of the city, they had their own altar. Can't we have one, two? Can't we have two or three? So that we can come together in our houses and lift up our area. We lift the young people unto God. We need to stop minding about we all the time. Ourselves, me. Let's start thinking also to other people. God, that is the heart of God. Me and my children. Me and my home. That is a bad spirit. It's high time to stop thinking about ourselves. Let's start thinking about even other people. Let's start minding about other people. We can do nothing about them, but we can pray for them. I know. I can pray for my neighbors. I can pray for the people within my city. Although I cannot feed them, I cannot give them food, but I can pray for them. I can, because I don't pay bills on my words. There's not any bill. I can speak anytime. No bills. They're not charging me. Therefore, I can pray for them. I can intercede for them. We can think about them. Then we need to build up city altars. That's what was done even in Acts chapter 2. The Bible said that they went on house to houses, breaking breads, and even in the temple. House to house, having fellowship, building up altars, praying for the other people, praying for their areas. That's why you find that in one day they had 3,000 people, they came to Christ. Why? Because of doing that, interceding, fellowshipping, you know, in their homes. Breaking breads. They build up, they set up altars. But these days we don't mind about our homes. We don't even invite the fellowship within our homes. Don't disturb me. I don't want anybody to come into my home to disorganize me. If you don't want anybody to disorganize you, wait, the devil will disorganize you. If you don't want to welcome God in your home, then the devil will come in. Because the devil does not ask for permission to come in. He just come in. I don't remember when the devil asked for permission to get into my life. I don't remember. But the day when God came on my heart, he had to knock on my heart. Can you allow me to get in? Then I opened up my door. I said, okay, come in. Then the devil does not ask for permission. He just comes in. If you don't welcome God in your home, then the devil will come. The devil won't ask you, please, here I am, can you allow me to come in? He just come in. He get into your life, into your family, into your children. Then you ask yourself, what's going on within my children? Because the devil has come in. Now what we have to do is to welcome God in our homes. Is to build up city altars within our homes. We can get a number of people, 5 people, 10 people, in one place, in one home. Then we praise the Lord. We worship Him. We hear the word of God. Then after that, we lift up our city. Intercede for our city. God is ready to heal that city. God is ready to take the young people back to church. He is ready to visit those people. Because He's the God of all flesh. That's what the Bible says. And nothing is too hard for Him. He can change anybody. He can transform anyone. Now what we need is to repent and we call upon God on their behalf. That's the altars which is needed in our homes. The devil has done everything to build altars in the families. Not only here, even in Africa. We have homes where the devil has built up his own altars there. When you enter into that house, you feel that there's one home. There's a certain minister that invited me into their area. We had a conference there. Now this pastor, he had to look for someone where I was supposed to spend the night with a certain group of people whom I had gone with. Now on that village, there was a certain man who had his money, had built up beautiful house. Beautiful one. But the man was living in the small house, not in that big house. Because that big house, evil spirits told him that he shouldn't live into that house. Evil spirit told him that that house belongs to him. Now this man, he was living into a small house, squeezing himself with a wife with a children into that house. Now when this man, this pastor went and requested me to spend nights there, the pastor thought that I'll be sleeping in that big house. He didn't know that even these people, they don't sleep into that house. Now the man allowed him and said, okay, let him come, we shall find out the way how we can sleep. Now when I went there, we entered into that small building. We ate our supper. Now they were planning to see where they are putting me. Then I asked them, what about that big house? Then the man told me that, Pastor, you live alone in that house. It has also its problems, then you can do nothing about it. Now I told him, tell me about it. What's the problem? Then he told him that demons told me that I shouldn't sleep into that house. That house belongs to them. Then I told the man, now you are squeezing yourself here when you have that big house. So yeah, demons does not allow me to go there. Then I told the man that let me make one request. Take me to that house and I sleep there. I'm not sleeping here. He told that, Pastor, you want to die here? I said, no, I'm not dying. Let me go and sleep into that house. Then the man told me that, okay, I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you everything, but I'm not going with you there. I told him that it's fine. Then he gave me the keys with a blanket and everything. I went into the house. I went into the master bedroom. Then I prepared myself there. He had put everything into the house. Chairs, sofa set, and everything with that. But demons couldn't allow him to use them. Then I entered into the house. I lifted up my hands and said, God, I thank you for this wonderful house, because I'm going to spend the night here. Therefore, no demon to disturb me because I'm here. And this house, the Bible says that we shall build the house and we shall sleep into it. Now this man built his house to sleep into it. The demons does not allow him. Therefore, from today, this man is going to start sleeping into this house. Yeah. Then I slept there. They did not sleep at night. They thought that maybe I'm going to die within the night. Then early in the morning, they were at their door watching what is going on. Then they heard me singing, praising God. They said, the guy did not die. Now the man came at the door, at the window. Pastor, are you okay? I told the man, I'm okay, I'm fine. Can you come out and take your breakfast? I told him, no. All of you come inside here and we have our breakfast here. Then the man said, Pastor, I don't want to die. This is your house. You need to sleep in. You need to live in. That's what the Bible says. Bring everything. Then they brought everything and we had our breakfast into the house. We even had lunch, dinner. They started using that house. Then I told them that the day when I'm leaving, we are putting that small house down. Right. We have to tear it down. Right. You are going to start sleeping in this house. Yeah. That's what we did. We went and put that small house down. Then we entered into this big house. From that day up to now, they're in that house. Yeah. Now, we have even demons which have tried to disorganize families, to break families. When you don't allow your God to come into your house, the devil will come in. Now this man is living into that house because he allowed the servant of God to sleep into his house. In others, he welcomed God into his house. Now, because he welcomed God into his house, that's why he is living into his house. Right. Now, it's very important to welcome God in our house. Right. Welcome God in your house. If you get time of fellowshipping, praying for that city, please do that, because you are welcoming God in your house. And when he comes into your house, it will change everything. When he comes in your house and have a right position in your house, so that he can be the master and the lord of your home, then he will change everything which is needed to be changed. But when you kick him out of the church, out of your home, then nothing will change you, will change your home. Then the devil will come and torment you. Therefore, as I'm winding up, we need to build altars, personal altars, family altars, and also city altars. Right. Open up your home so that you can have time just to pray for the city. Because even the devil, what has done, he has put up certain altars in different areas within your cities. Any place where you find that people, they gather there a lot of time, that's an altar of the devil. Once is not godly. Anything which draws people in one place for a long time, when what they are doing there is not godly, then that's the out of the devil. Let me give you an example. You can see bars everywhere here in your city. Now those bars, those are altars of the devil. Every evening they meet together. Every evening they meet together. That's the out of the devil. They come to have fellowship with the devil. Now also we need to have altars somewhere whereby that also can have time. And we have fellowship with our God. Then we communicate to our God on the behalf of our city. We shouldn't allow the devil to have altars everywhere. Right. When we don't have even one. We shouldn't allow the devil to draw all our children, our grandchildren into his altars. When we cannot draw them into our own altars. Is that clear? Let's start doing that. And I believe once we do that, we are going to change. You are going to change your area. You are going to change your cities. You are going to change your nation. You are going to draw back your nation back to God. Because we need. And that's what the Lord told me. He is calling United States back to that place. Yeah. I know that if you agree with me also, that's what you are going to do. Is that clear? God bless you.